Good morning, everyone. I'm Anthony Drake. This morning's verse will be from 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. And we have known and believed that the love of God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. For love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the days of judgment, because as he is, so are we in his world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must also love his brother.
Love those who love you. Love those who can't or don't love you. And love those who hate you. These are the three components of what Jesus teaches to his disciples. And as we put those into practice, as we strive to be a church that works in following Christ, the church of Christ, as we strive to be a church that works, love those who love us. Love those who don't love us. Love those who hate us. I remember one time I was out to eat with a good friend. We were having a lunch meeting, and across the way, a couple tables across, was this couple, and it was obvious they were in love. I mean, their hands were holding on to one another. They were serving each other little bites. They were giggling and laughing, and you could hear them say, oh, I love you. I love when you do this. I mean, they were just ooey gooey in love all over the place. Well, me and my friend, we finished our lunch, we paid our bill, we went outside, and we were continuing our conversation over by my car, and I remember watching this couple coming out, and once again, they were just side by side, they were holding hands, they were arm in arm, they were giggling and laughing together, they were stepping with one another, and he takes her over to her car, and he opens up the door, and she slides in, tells her goodbye, and she drives away. And from where I was standing, I could see him walking kind of towards my way. And he reaches in his pocket and he slips back on his finger his wedding ring. And I remember thinking, if he had invested as much love and time as he just had with this young lady, if he had invested that much with his wife, would this situation even have existed? Love those who love you. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we don't share love with those who love us. Life is short. Scripture says that life is but a vapor. It's a mist. It's here for just a moment and then gone. We will see that this life goes so quickly. And often we don't express the love we feel. God demonstrates. I mean, all throughout Scripture, God demonstrates his love. We teach our children that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, we see clearly that God is love. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, it says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. John, the disciple who was with Jesus, as he's writing that Gospel of John, he refers to himself, he says, the disciple whom the Lord loved. I want to remind us today to express our love for God. Express our love for those who love us, who are around us, our friends and our family. I want to encourage you to be specific. I dare you to be specific in sharing back with them what is of value in their life. What have they done to bless you? Get specific. Share your emotion. Be real about the joy that you feel, the excitement that you have, because these people are a blessing in your life. I remember a while back, I was going through a really difficult time. I was wearing this sad heart on my sleeves, and probably everybody knew what was going on. And I remember this brother came, and he put his arm around me real fast, and he said, "I just want to encourage you." And he patted me on the shoulder, and then off he ran. And my heart was breaking. My spirit was sad and destroyed. And he walked away, and I'm like, "I want to be encouraged. Would you just tell me what is of value? Do you see something in me that is unique or special? Would you speak those words into my heart? Would you be specific? Would you share with me your emotion? Would you build me back up?" But he walked away. Dr. Chapman teaches us that we need to speak the other person's language. He says that there are basically five different love languages. There are words of affirmation, the way that we speak to build one another up. There are the opportunities to give gifts, those little trinkets that mean something of value or a memory. There's the act of service, when we see someone whose to-do list is so long that we love them so much that we will take those things off their plate. There's quality time, where we are interacting with one another, sitting on the front porch or rocking on the back porch, where we are sitting on the couch, we are engaged in conversation and connected with one another. Or sometimes it's just the physical touch that speaks love to so many. Love those who love you. But point number two is love those who don't show you love, who can't show you love. We need to learn how to serve without reward. Now, who doesn't show us love? Parents would quickly remember the time when their small children were little babies. They were 2 or 3. They would cry out in the middle of the night. They didn't care how long you had stayed up. They didn't care the mountain of laundry that you had in front of you, the dishes that you were going to try to take care of. They just knew in the middle of the night that they needed their diaper changed or they needed a meal, that they were hungry. And they would cry out. And as soon as their needs were met, they would go right back to sleep. Sometimes those people who are far away have a hard time expressing love. The time difference, the difference in circumstances or life events, makes it difficult to express love. Sometimes we say distance makes the heart grow fonder, but it really makes the communication more difficult, doesn't it? Those who speak a foreign language, those who literally speak a different language than us, sometimes it's difficult for us to express our love or affection to. Those who speak a different love language, Dr. Chapman would say, sometimes it's difficult for us to speak that type of love to one another. Those who have ideas or opinions that are different than mine, those who have priorities that are different than mine, makes it difficult sometimes to show love or to receive love back from those people. We need to learn to argue, to discuss, to evaluate in a way in which we can communicate love more than the disagreement that we have between these two parties. Way to communicate love more than the disagreement that we have. See, at the core, at the beginning root of the word politics, even the idea of political correctness, is this word of politeness. This idea that I want to express my ideas, they are different than yours, but I want us to be around the table together. I don't want my words and my ways to push people away. How do you show love to those who don't or can't show love to you? Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 41, go the second mile. Go the second mile. I remember this man, his wife had dementia. Every Sunday he would pull right up to the front door of our church. He would jump out of his truck. He would bring her in and place her just inside the front door. He would go and park his truck and then come back and take her into class. If the situation changed, she had a great difficulty handling those moments. Well, one Sunday night, we decided to have kind of a campfire and a devotional out in the back. And so as he pulls in, there are several people who are walking into the building, maybe looking like they normally would, but there were several who were coming out of the building with armfuls of chairs. And they were setting up these big circles in the backyard. And they were gathering there, and as she saw this scene, it was different than what she was expecting, and so she didn't want to get out of the truck. You could hear the frustration and the challenge of their conversation, and finally this older man, he gets out of his truck, he comes around the cab, he opens the passenger door, and he reaches in and he pushes that little button, and her chair slides back a few inches. He sits down on the floorboard right in front of her. He takes her hands and gently strokes them and calms them. They begin a soft, gentle conversation until she finally is ready to understand and then to join in this devotional. How do you love those who don't or can't love you? Jesus says we go the extra mile. How do we show love to those who hate us? Dr. King is quoted by saying, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only love can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." In 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, "Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom we have seen cannot love God whom we have not seen." Paul would remind Timothy, as he's beginning his work in ministry, he would say, "We've not received a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, of love, and of self-control." Jesus would say, "How do you show love to those who hate you? Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you." There was a young man, this work environment that grew very toxic. His boss, the overseer, the one who really had hired him, had found him now to be just a sore in his side. I mean, he just burned with anger for this younger man. And the more time that this boss spent with this younger man, the more he literally hated to see him. It didn't matter what this younger man did, if he was successful in his work, if he was helpful in the tasks that were given to him, if he did what the boss had said, the boss hated him. And it grew so much that literally it became clear for those that were around that the boss wanted to literally kill this guy. Well, as time would go on, as the situation grew in its complexity and challenges, this young man trying to do what is right actually was given an opportunity and promoted over this boss. But yet he still wanted to do right, and the boss still hated him even more now in this position, and so he wanted to kill him, and there was this hunt, there was this rivalry that was going on. Until one day, the boss goes off into the restroom. Scripture says it was a cave in which King Saul went into. David found the opportunity to attack him, to show him once and for all that he was the man that God had placed to be king. But instead of taking his life, he cuts off just a little corner of his cloak, demonstrates to him that he will not retaliate in hate. He will show love. I want to make this personal. I want you to connect with this. I want you to see that this is real and this is important for our lives. Either we will grow to be more like Christ, or we will grow to be less like Christ. There is no stay. There is no maintain. There is no status quo in our Christ following. Either you will want him to continue to remake you, or you will avoid that process. Leo Tolstoy writes, "The test of observance of Christ's teaching is our consciousness of our failure to obtain an ideal perfection. The degree to which we draw near this perfection cannot be seen. All we can see is the extent of of our deviation. When Christ says to love your enemies and pray for those who are persecuting you, either he is right or he is wrong. There is no in between. There's not a moment in which Jesus is just talking about certain circumstances or certain situations. He wasn't unsure or unclear. He wasn't wishy-washy in his understanding. Either he is saying, love those who persecute you and hate you, or he is wrong in what he is saying. Napoleon once said of Jesus Christ, he says, everything in Christ astonishes me. His spirit overawes me, and his will confounds me. Between him and whoever else in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. He is truly being himself. I search in vain in history to find the similar to Jesus Christ, or anything which can approach the gospel. Neither history nor humanity, not the ages nor nature, offer me anything with which I am able to compare it or explain it. Here everything is extraordinary. As we look back to Christ, our example, our Savior, he is our Lord. I want you to see this quote. I want you to listen to its words and see the unique greatness of God. The other gods were strong, but thou wast weak. They rode, but thou did stumble to a throne. To our wounds, only God's wounds speak, and not a God has wounds, but thou alone. A young lady was taking a theology class. It was a requirement. It wasn't a choice or personal interest. She joined this class where the professor was known to have these unusual demonstrations, these elaborate illustrations. And one day she walked into class and there was this huge target on the wall, those big red and white circles. Gave each student a piece of paper and asked them to draw a picture of a person who had made them angry. A few drew pictures of an ex-boyfriend or girlfriend, somebody who had dumped them or left them or hurt them. Some drew pictures of family members who were extremely unkind. This young lady, frustrated with the class, the seemingly poor management of time and learning opportunity, drew a picture of her professor. And she reveled in the detail of getting the right color, putting the mole right there on his face, choosing the right color for his tie, and making sure that this picture was just right. When the students had finished drawing their pictures, he would invite them up one by one. They'd put the pictures on the target, and he'd give them some darts, and they would throw at these pictures of people who had made them angry. One by one, student after student would throw these darts, one right after another, filled with anger and fury and hate and frustration, right at this target. This girl continued to draw her picture with great detail. After a certain amount of time had elapsed, the professor gathered up the darts and invited the students to sit down. She now grew even more frustrated in this exercise, unable to turn her picture in to show that to the class, unable to throw the darts at this professor or the picture that she had drawn. As the class sits down, the professor comes to this big target and he pulls the target down to reveal a picture of Jesus. Now, after so many students had thrown darts, with great emotion at this target, at this picture, the face of Jesus is tattered and destroyed. Eyes are poked out. His cheek is ripped where darts had gone through. The lips has holes. There's holes and punctures all over his face, and the picture is worn and destroyed. The professor holds his hand up, and he says this: when you did this to the least of my brothers or sisters, you did this to me? How do you love those who hate you? How do you love those who can't love you, don't love you? How do you love those who love you? We want to be Christ followers. We want this church to work because we want to be the church of Christ, like Christ, with Christ. And so today we confess our weaknesses and our failings, and we strive to follow him. If there is help or guidance or counsel that we can offer, if encouragement or prayer or study would be a benefit, I encourage you to call the office, to come by for us to sit down, reach out to one of our shepherds, and let them be involved in your life. Let's not let one more minute go by as being individuals who see the opportunity but fail to take action. We want to be those people as we love those people in each step of our lives. Have a great day. Lord, take